We've been talking about and discussing Jesus' walk. Eric's been talking about Jesus' walk, and which is very interesting to me because I really like this series. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, believe it or not, it didn't hit me till about last week. I started doing my taxes. Ooh. And so I said, And also, I started talking about, you know, when we, all of us, you watch a football game or sports, you always zero in on, you know, the big guns, you know, the first team. Nobody pays any attention to the water boy. Nobody pays any attention to the person or the people sitting on the second bench, the second string, third string, you know what I mean? Nobody cares about those people, even though they are part of the team. You know, you really don't think about the water boy. Except for that movie. I watched that movie, The Water Boy, and that's it. This is really, really good H2O. The supporting cast, huh? We always want, you know, the main, not the supporting, the person that gets the Academy Award. Oh, yeah, and then you got the supporting cast. Oh, that's like second fiddle. Or if you're in a band, you know, you want to be first chair, not second or third chair. But there is, I have always been intrigued by the second and third string. I've always been intrigued by that water boy. You know, and when I watch a baseball game, you know, most people are zero in on the pitcher, the catcher, and the batter. I watch the guys out in right field, left. I watch what they're doing. And if it's at the Brewer Stadium and how they're interacting with the crowd. Because to me, that's a lot of action is going on out there, but we don't tend to see it. And so most of us, through our walk through our Christian life, well, we've always zeroed in on the main prayer, on the main players. You know, we look at the disciples and those that were really, really close to Jesus. But what about those that weren't that close but had a relationship with Jesus? What about, and so, you know, I got a nice little, the men in Christ's life. And so I zeroed in on a couple of few. Well, I'm going to just talk about one in particular. Nicodemus. Think about old Nicodemus. Now, here he was, and I put emphasis on that word Pharisee. Yeah, he was a Pharisee. And yet he came at night to speak to Jesus, to talk to Jesus. And then to Lord, I know you are Lord. Pharisee. Also, you know, you look at just to talk a little bit more about Nicodemus over there in John 7:20. He was one that spoke to the other Pharisees. He was like chief of the Jews. He actually talked against them trying to take Jesus to jail. And then after the crucifixion, you look at Nicodemus and Joseph or Arimathea. They were ones that dressed Jesus' body. But yet we all zero in on the disciples, you know, Peter, Paul. Well, what about the other men in Christ's life? We'll talk a little bit about one very interesting person to me, and I love this story. But before we move on, let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, once again, you found favor in us, O God, because we are here. We thank you, O God, because you have brought us through another week of trials and tribulations. And we thank you, O God, for at this appointed time, you have allowed us to assemble in this place, so that we can testify of your goodness, of your end, of your mercies, and to hear your words, O God. And I just pray in Jesus' precious name that the word spoken here, O God, let it go forward and prick every heart. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I start out, who was this guy, Zacchaeus? You know, who? Another sinner? I start out, you know, this is the year of reflection. I started reflecting ever since I retired, reflecting. And all righty, I won't pick on the women today, but I pick on us guys. You know, going back, at least for me, growing up, you always wondered, well, just exactly what I'm going to do with my life. What am I going to do with it? Where am I going? I have an idea of what I would like to do. How well did what you wanted to do coincided with what God wanted you to do? Now, in our younger days, at least for me, and maybe if you're part of this, please, you know, don't raise your hand, but you nod your head. You know, us guys in our younger days, now let's be honest. We had one foot, if you were like me, grew up in the church, boring. And then you had another foot out in the world. And so we always would be straddling the line. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. It's been ingrained in your psychic or your body ever since you were born. Your parents taught you. Now, if you went to church, for me, it was like 3 days a week, guys. You know, and they were very long. And so I knew right and wrong. I also knew the world. You know, now, come on, 13, 14, early teenage years, late teenage years. What did we do? A lot of us, party. Oh, am I the only one here? Oh, the rest of you guys, I guess you were all monks, huh? Yeah. And I had a pastor of mine years ago that used to say, you know, two services. You have those churches that have two services, right? Yeah, you have the early service. Yeah, for the saints. And then for me, I always made the evening service or the second service. You know, he called that the service for the heathens. For those of us, the young people that spent the night before partying and doing all kinds of, you know, silly things. Oh, only to wake up, sober up, and make our way to church. To repent for the things we did the night before or during that week. So always, I used to make it to the second service. Then they remind, oh, no, I better go to the first. Ah. And also, if you go back, I struggle with the direction that I wanted to go in my life. You know, I'm thinking I want to go in this direction. But all the time, all along, God was saying, no, I want you to go in that direction. And so we struggle for, I struggle. Many of us will struggle over the years trying to rectify that difference. Because sometimes what we want to do and what God would have us do are not the same. And how do you rectify that? Well, time rectifies that. You retired and you look back and say, you know, in your younger days, you've heard some things where you just go off. Just go off on people. Now you learn to, hey, slow it down a little bit. You're a little bit more thoughtful, a little more reserved. You don't get excited as much. And then as you get a little bit older, you think back on your younger years and say, you know, my parents were right. You hate to admit it, but yeah, they were right. Find yourself listening to your music that your dad used to play. Oh, that music was terrible. Well, we have arrived. At least I have arrived. I've come from understanding and trying to figure out what I want to do with my life and what I should be doing with my life. They are now the same, serving God, plain and simple. You know, back in the day, you borrow money from your friends, knowing perfectly well that you're not going to pay them back. Oh, I'll take care of it next week. Next week comes around. Oh, I'm a little short this week. I'll pay it next week, you know. Now, hold that thought, because today I got to talk about Zacchaeus. Just exactly who is this guy? And there's a couple of questions I want you to that I always ask, and why I found Zacchaeus so intriguing. One, the position that he held, what he did to get to Jesus, and what happens afterwards. From our gospel reading this morning, and there's a lot here. Now, here we go. Jesus entered Jericho. There's a lot to dissect about that city, Jericho, one of the oldest cities on planet Earth. And it was very well populated. So he entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there by the name of Zacchaeus. And here we go. Emphasis on he was a chief tax collector. We'll talk about those tax collectors You know, I say tax collector, you say IRS. Ooh. You know, even my friends that are in the government that work for the IRS, I kind of don't like them. You know, you represent people that are taking my money. I don't like it. And so he was the chief tax collector and he was wealthy. Now, when you say a person is wealthy, what comes to your mind? What question do you usually ask? How much money are we talking about here? How wealthy is he? Well, we're gonna answer that question a little bit later on. How wealthy is he? And here we go. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, no short jokes, I am standing. And because he wanted to see Jesus, he was short. He could not see over the crowd. Bang. Now stop right there. This is one of the things that intrigued me about this story. Now let's dissect this a little bit. This man was the chief tax collector. People didn't play with him. You know, people didn't play with him. Even though he was short in stature, he was kind of like, don't play with him. And the other thing that intrigues me is that he was rich. Now, put those two things together. Here is a very powerful, rich man, huh? And it says here he was running. He ran ahead of the crowd. The first thing that comes to my question is, why is a rich, powerful man running ahead of a crowd? Now, if I was a chief tax collector and I was very wealthy, you know, I don't sit in the end zone when I go to a football game. I'm up there in the press box, air conditioned. You know what I'm talking about? I go to a basketball game. If I'm rich, I buy the best seats right behind the players. So you have this rich man running ahead of a crowd. Why didn't he just say, hey, you know, you a big guy? I'm the chief tax collector. Put me on your shoulders and take me so I can see Jesus. Or being so powerful, why did he have to run? He could have just walked and get out of my way. I'm rich. And I got a lot of money. Here's $5. You go over there. Here's $10. You go over there. Why didn't he do that? Instead, he ran ahead of a crowd. And then if we read a little bit further, he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree. That sycamore tree has a lot of biblical significance. It was the same type of tree that Jesus once said, if a tree does not bear fruit, what? Cut it down. So here you have Zacchaeus running ahead of a crowd, climbing up a tree. As a rich, powerful man, who would do that? Would you do that? No. Well, I don't know. I know I wouldn't. I'll have pay a couple of thugs, move the crowd out of my way, give you a little tax credit, a little tax break. That's what I would do. Because I really want to see who this Jesus guy is. So he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up the sycamore tree, because Jesus was coming that way. Hold those thoughts. And when Jesus reached that spot, he looked up and said, now watch this. He looked up and said, you know, Pastor Jerome used to always say, and my pastors always used to say over the years, that when God talks to you, he will call you by name. He will call you by name. He's not going to say, Jesus didn't look up at that tree and say, hey, dude, get down out of the tree. Hey, yo, brother man, come on down here. No, he didn't say anything. He called him by name, Zacchaeus. Huh? He comes down and says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Come down immediately. So Jesus knew exactly who he was. Now, at the very beginning, Zacchaeus wanted to figure out, well, who is this Jesus guy? So by the time he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up that sycamore tree, he figured it out, who Jesus is. And it says he came down immediately. He didn't say, you know, I'm rich and powerful and I got this person telling me to come down out of the tree that I spent a lot of time struggling to get up. No, I'm going to stay right. No, he came down immediately. And so, and he was glad to receive him. And here we go. You know, in every group, you have critics. You ever notice that? Critics. You always got critics. Your sermons are too long. Critic. Bring your lunch. Critics. Or dinner. Critics. Yeah. And so, but this group got to be, these people, this crowd have, they know Jesus. They've seen all the miracles he has performed. And it's not the first time he spent his time with, shall we say, the downtrodden or the people that no one liked. It's not the first time. But yet and still, here we go. All the people saw this and began to mutter, oh, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. That's like, you know, do we do that now? Do we do that now? We see someone and we kind of like judge if they do this or say that. We kind of make prejudge. But this is the part that I like. In the reading today, it says, behold, in my NIV, Zacchaeus stood up. He came down, and it says here, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. In the reading today, it says, behold. In my reading, it says, look. My Bible, it says, look, Lord, with an exclamation point. Oh, with an exclamation. See that? He just didn't say, oh, wait, Jesus. He didn't say, oh, he said, look, Lord. You know, it reminded me of one time when I was like I was about maybe 13, 14 years old. And I was doing something. I don't know what I was doing, but I was really engrossed in it. Have you zeroed in on something that you're working so hard at that you're totally oblivious to the world? You're so focused. I don't remember what it was, but I know I was really, really focused. And my dad called out to me, Charles. And I answered, what? Just like, what? Now, there was a conversation afterwards, but I can't remember much of the conversation other than I know it didn't go well for me. And so here you have a man that says, look, he's looking right at Jesus. Look, Lord. That's got to be something. Look, Lord. And here he goes. Look, Lord, here and now, not tomorrow, not next week, here and right now, he says, here and I give half of my possessions to the poor. He gives half. He's rich. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back fourfold. Let me just flip the script a little bit. This is one of the reasons I like this. I love Zacchaeus. Here, right now, Lord, if I have offended anyone, please forgive me. Here and right now, Lord, if I have done anything that's not worthy of your love, here and right now, I want to repent. You know, if I have been rude to people, if I have been anything that's ungodly, here and right now. No, I don't want to wait. Let me go over here and curse out Billy Joe. And then let me go out over here and gossip a little bit about Mary Sue. Then after I've done all my dirt, then I'll come back. No, no. He said, here and right now, I'll pay back anything fourfold. There was more than a couple of people following Jesus. The crowds were huge. Huge. Four times? Oh, he had a lot of money. Oh, he had more than enough. And then look at this. Look at this. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Today salvation has come to this house. Here's a man that was a tax collector that very few people didn't like. And they didn't like the way, oh, and they murmured amongst themselves. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now, let's put this all together, shall we? Yeah, I said the stories. There are three perspectives on this story. Three. First, the perspective of the crowd. Historically, tax collectors were not very well liked. Their career was a negative. They had a very negative reputation by everyone, simply because they collected money. Sometimes they overcharged. They're in charge of collecting taxes for the Roman Empire. So no one really cared much for the tax collectors. They all considered them to be like thieves. And so in the Bible, Jesus also compared tax collectors to pagans, as written in Matthew 18:17. And it says, if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector. That's Jesus talking. Hmm? And then even the Pharisees, good old Nicodemus. Hmm? The Pharisees over in Luke 18:11, we got a Pharisee, stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. So they're not, as far as the crowd is, this is guys like the scum of the earth. But based on the crowd's perspective, that's a norm. We do that now still. We see people that we think are maybe not spiritually in our mind. Well, how can he be hanging out with that? I had a friend of mine and said, if you saw me coming out of a gentleman's club, what would you think? Oh, boy, would that generate a whole lot of talk in the church? Or if you saw me hanging out under a bridge with a lot of dope dealers, what would you think? What would be your first thought? The pastor's getting high too, maybe. And so perception, so as far as the crowd is concerned, Zacchaeus was not the type of person that they felt they wanted to hang around for tax reasons, nor should Jesus be hanging around. So they had pretty much a negative worldly perspective of Zacchaeus. And even when Jesus said, come down, I must dine at your house, you would think they would say, he's been talking and dealing with the poor, the lost, since he started his ministry. And then there's the perspective of Zacchaeus himself. Hmm? Now, at the beginning, he wanted to see who Jesus was. But between running ahead of the crowd, climbing with that sycamore tree, he figured it out. From Zacchaeus' perspective, he's running ahead of a crowd. He's not walking. He's not jogging. He's not getting anyone to help him. He is running after Christ. He's running after Christ. Then he climbs. He climbs a sycamore tree. Here is a man who is saying, I'm going to do what I can to get in front of this crowd so I can see my Lord and Savior. That's called dedication. That's called dedication. He didn't have to run. Like I said, he could have paid people to get around. So from his perspective, he's saying, this is my Lord and Savior. And then from his perspective, seeing his Lord and Savior, come down, Zacchaeus, bang. And then you go back and look at that verse where it says he stood up. He stood up. Now, that tells me that he was not standing. No short jokes. Tells me he stood up. That means he was either on his knees, kneeling, or maybe he was prone, rolling around in the sand, making sand flakes like we make snowflakes. We don't know. But the Bible says he stood up. And not only did he stand up, he addressed the Lord, him, look, Lord, if here right now, any sin that I've committed here right now, not tomorrow, not next week. And so from Zacchaeus' perspective, would you run if you had the means? Would you run to see our Lord and Savior, or would you walk, or would you drive? How far are you willing to go? How far was Zacchaeus willing? He went more than a mile. More than a mile. And then there's some perspective when you look at from Jesus' point of view, or from, I'll go back to Zacchaeus' point of view. If you look, I had a couple of verses here. from Zacchaeus, the perspective of Jesus. Now, Jesus was obligated to see or be with Zacchaeus. I must dine at your house tonight. You know, that's like me saying, I'm asking, but then at the same time, I'm kind of telling you, but I'm really asking. And in other words, Jesus is saying, I must dine at your house tonight, but you got to invite me. I will, you invite. I will, if you invite. And then the second part of that is the fact that he was a tax collector made it even more inviting. Because everyone can see, everyone is able to see just exactly what our Lord and Savior is all about. He says, I come to save the lost. I come to save the lost. I must dine at your house. Our takeaway. Yet known to the crowd, a sinner. However, even for sinners, over in Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, talking to the tax collectors, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So even tax collectors, even tax collectors can receive. And then finally, I end up by saying this, or asking you this. Would you be part of the crowd? Who would you cite with the most? Would you be part of the crowd and just tag along, watching and experiencing the miracles? Or will you be, or are you more like Zacchaeus? How fast or how willing are you to run ahead of a crowd? How far you will go? What things will you put aside? Nothing, we often say, nothing will keep me from my Lord and Savior. So I ask you, the congregation, the same question. How far are you willing to go and how fast are you willing to get there? Yeah, he didn't just, they said he ran ahead. He sprinted ahead of that crowd. Are you sprinting today? And if you are sprinting, if you reach a certain, if Jesus was to come into your neighborhood or close to your home, will he be able to say, I must, Tom, dine with you tonight? I must. And what will you say? I got a baseball game. Can you come back later on? I'm busy right now. Come back later. Or if the Lord says to you, I must speak to you. You say, well, I got to take a phone call or I have a Zoom meeting coming up. Yeah, can you do this? Can we do this tomorrow or sometime in the future? Not now. Sometime later on. Can we? Where would you fit in that scenario? Where would you fit? I don't know. We have reached a point, you and I. Well, I know exactly where I was. There's nothing. Oh, yeah. Charles, I must dine at your house tonight. Tear open the doors. Grandkids, get out. Go home. Go to your parents. Everybody else, leave. I have a special guest. That's the question. That's why I like this story. How much of a Zacchaeus am I? Will I run ahead? Yes, I will. Will I climb a tree, a building, whatever I have to do so that I can see and be next to my Lord and Savior? Let us pray. Precious Lord, Father God, oftentimes we put all other things ahead of you. And at times, oh God, we only seek your wisdom. We only seek your mercy, oh God. When we are in desperation. Precious Lord, Father God, we are so grateful that you oversee our faults. We are so grateful, oh God, that yes, indeed, you are standing at this spot and telling us and asking us, I must dine with you today. Precious Lord, Father God, I just ask and pray in Jesus' name. As you open your arms to gather all of your children in, I just pray, oh God, that you would remember us, oh God, that you will just blot out those iniquities of ours, that you will look into our hearts, oh God, and see that we indeed are here to serve you. Lord God, I thank you for allowing me to be here in this holy place. And I just ask and pray in Jesus' precious name that as we leave this place, but not your presence, that you will afford us the opportunity to reassemble in this place so that once again we can testify of your goodness and of your mercies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.